Hi,
my name is John, and I'm a sinner. That's just the truth about me, and it's a horrible and tragic truth. Unfortunately, as you may know, we're walking together through the 12 steps these days. If you go to an AA meeting, people will say, my name is John, I'm an alcoholic. And there's a tremendous story behind those words. Whoever says that sentence, everybody around that circle knows they have gone through hell. They have resisted. They have lost jobs, maybe family, marriages, reputation, money, all kinds of stuff. Didn't want to say it. And when they do, there's a brokenness and a desperate desire for help, for power beyond themselves. It's all wrapped up in just those couple of words. And then the people around them just surround them with love by saying, hi, John. Because in this community, as my pal Mike says, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. And we're learning that together. Because see, the truth is way more than simply terms around addiction. Sin defines, describes, names that deepest of all human problems. I am not the person. I am not the moral agent, the being, the dad, the pastor, the husband that I want to be, or that I should be, or that the world needs me to be, or that God designed me to be, in tragic and broken ways. Part of which are the result of things that happened to me, but part of which for which I bear responsibility. But when I get to the end of my life, I can't keep going down this wrong road. So there's 12 steps on this journey, but the first one lays the foundation for everything else. All 12 steps are deeply tied together. One leads to another one. They're not necessarily linear in a mechanical way, and you're never done with them, so we keep going around them, but they're very coherent. They make a lot of sense. And if I miss the first one, I'm going to miss the other 11. I think I've told you, I was talking to a guy who's been in AA for decades, and he said, the problem with most religions, with most wisdom traditions, with most Christians, with most churches is a wimpy step one. Because if you have a wimpy step one, you're going to have a wimpy step 2 through 12. Step one is admitted. Now, this is not just something that I do casually or with my mind. This is something that I feel deeply. Admitted that we were powerless over our ultimate problem. Alcohol addiction, maybe sin for sure. My selfishness, my ego, my deception, my pride, my judgmentalism, my withdrawal, my pouting, my hurting other people, my ignoring other people, my elitism, I can't change it. I can't stop it. And my life is unmanageable. If God isn't the one that's leading and I'm not surrendered to Him, when I get to the end of my life, it will just be littered with regrets. That's step one. I want to invite you to do that all through this day. Now, just look for ways in which I'm powerless over people, powerless over the weather, which you might notice is beautiful here, powerless to control other people's opinions about me. I'm staying with friends who are a big part of Become New. And they had this towel in their kitchen. Remember, as far as anyone knows, we're a nice, normal family. And of course, that's funny because we all know that none of us is part of a nice, normal family. All of our families are messed up because all of the people in them are messed up. This is step one. Now, I want to talk to you for a few moments today, in particular, about why it matters so much. So I'll put in the form of a question. If you've ever gone to church, have you ever felt lonely when you went to church? Did you ever wonder why? There's a brilliant theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he addresses precisely this book in his, in his little book, Life Together. Life Together was about a fellowship, people who were going through underground seminary in Nazi Germany and a program, a way of life. What AA offers is a program and a fellowship, and the similarities between what Bonhoeffer writes and what we discover in the 12 steps are striking. And you will find that in any great writing or any great community about spiritual transformation, because these 12 steps were learned from something called the Oxford Group, which was an attempt to recapture discipleship following Jesus in modern life. In fact, before it was called the Oxford Group, it was called a first century Christian fellowship. This is what Bonhoeffer writes. This is why we get lonely when we go to church. Confess your faults one to another. You ever do that with anybody? Admitted we were powerless. Lives were unmanageable. He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone. It may be that Christians, notwithstanding corporate worship, common prayer, all their fellowship and service, may still be left to their loneliness. The final breakthrough to fellowship does not occur because, although they have fellowship with one another as believers and as devout people, they do not have fellowship as the undevout, as sinners. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner. So everyone must conceal his sin from himself and from the fellowship. We dare not be sinners. Many Christians are unthinkably horrified when a real sinner is discovered among the righteous. Oh man, a sinner, a real one, not that. But see, when a group of people gather together around the 12 steps and somebody says, I'm an alcoholic, everybody, yep, me too, me too, me too, me too. I've been there, no surprise. And when someone's able to recognize and publicly confess their personal inadequacy, not just, oh yeah, this was me 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, but here's what I did today, here's what I did this morning, like real time, I still struggle with sin. Me too, me too, me too, me too. And then power flows. But it's all built on step one. That's why over and over in the Bible, as we have seen, Isaiah 6, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Most of the time, we don't think about the fact that we are people of unclean lips because we don't get caught. We would be horrified if all that we said and all that we thought and all that we felt was shown on a screen just for one single day, maybe even our best day, we'd be horrified, but we forget it. I was talking to somebody in my office one time, another person called, I was on the speakerphone with this second person. That conversation ended. They're a really nice, kind person. But after the conversation was done, I turned to the person who was in my office and just said, mocking, belittling, making fun stuff, just stupidly. I couldn't even tell you why. Wanting to be funny or clever or something. And then I discovered to my horror that the recording was still going on, so that this recording would be on that person's phone. And I felt sick to my stomach and went to that person. They were quite gracious about it, but I still can feel the pain of that. Because I got caught, see. And the reality is, I promise you, if I hadn't got caught, if that hadn't happened, I would not have remembered that I did that at the end of the day. And then you multiply that by many, many, many times every day and then many, many, many days. We think it's a terrible thing when somebody gets caught in bad wrongdoing and there's scandal or something and it's known and they're in pain and man, I hope that never happens to me. No, 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 that's not the worst. The worst is not getting caught, because then it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper inside me and it colors more and more. I am a man of unclean lips. See, step one is foundational for everything else. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching at Pentecost, and the text says, when they hear about Jesus and his person and his message and the life that he offers, and then look at what they did, they were cut to the heart. See, this step one is not just an abstract, casual, intellectual acknowledgement. This is gut deep. And for anybody that's got an addiction, they know the more deeply they feel their hopelessness, my willpower is never going to get me there. The more intensely that is felt, the more open they become, the more humble they become, the more that is there. I gotta have power beyond myself. That's why step one is all over the Bible. It's not just that they were weird, ancient, religious people who had self-esteem problems, but thank God now we're therapeutized and we feel better about ourselves. No, no, no. We're in the same boat. I am a man of unclean lips. Acts 2:37, they were cut to the heart, and therefore they cried out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They're not paralyzed. You don't become passive with this. I'm powerless, but I'm not passive. And then in Acts 2, verse 42, we read about the birth of a new community, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, that'll be step 11, meditate, pray, and prayer, the breaking of bread and fellowship. Day after day, they met. They began following a way of life. They had a fellowship, and they had a program, and that's what we're entering into. The church got the 12 steps. I mean, AA got the 12 steps from the church, and now the church needs them back. But there would have been no Acts 2:42 without Acts 2:37. First, they had to be cut to the heart, and then they were ready to devote themselves. If they were not cut to the heart, they would not have been that devout. Tell you one more place in the New Testament where we see somebody work in step one, and we see the difference between someone who is and someone who is not, and why it matters so much. This is in Luke chapter 7. Jesus is invited to the home of a religious leader. He's a respectable guy. He's doing really well. If you asked him how his spiritual life is going, he would say, "I'm going great. I'm not powerless at all. And my life is quite manageable. And I have studied the scriptures deeply, and I tithe, and I fast, and I go worship God." And then there's a woman call there, and she is just described as a sinful woman. But Jesus looks at, this very respectable religious leader, and then this other woman that would be on the margins, scandalized. And when she sees Jesus, she just comes undone. And she is so overwhelmed by her powerless over her life and her unmanageability, and then that Jesus would still love her and accept her, that she bursts into tears and washes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. And Simon does none of that. He only loves just a little bit. She just loves with everything she's got. See, she's doing step one. Simon's problem is, his exact problem is a wimpy step one. And that leaves him with a wimpy spiritual life, steps 2 through 12. And this woman, she is doing step one. So now this is your day today. Are you willing to sit with, for a little bit, the pain of knowing, "I'm a person of unclean lips. I withdraw and I pout. I want people's approval." I was thinking about this today, reading in the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, I think. Some people come up to Jesus. They're trying to trap him, and so they're just trying to flatter him. But they say true words. They say, "Jesus, we know that you truly teach the way of God. You are not swayed by men. You don't care what they think." The literal phrase is, "You don't look at the faces of men." And I was thinking how I look at people's faces. Honestly, one of the things that I value about Become New is right now it's just me looking at a camera. So there's no person to shake their head no or shake their head yes. I love being able to preach and talk to people who are alive. I love making eye contact. I love seeing, and sometimes when somebody is filled with joy or their faces get lit up or they might be being changed, I love that. But at the same time, I wrestle with if they're not looking at me, if they're looking away, or they're nodding their head this way, or somebody gets up and walks out of a room, did they not like what I said? Is this not going over very well? Have I kind of lost this? Is this not going to be something that people listen to and go, "Wow"? And I understand what it is to look at people's faces, not in order to love them, not in order to care for them, but just to read in their faces. Now, am I going to get the fuel that I want? I am a man of unclean lips. And this is the thing with sin. I cannot overcome it by willpower. It's like an alcoholic can't stop drinking by willpower. I cannot just snap my finger and say, "Okay, approval addiction, go away." But that addiction will destroy my life and keep me from loving the people who are in it. And it's done that way too much already. I don't want it anymore. And so, I don't just drift. I don't become passive with that. I say, "All right, I got to reorient myself. I have to arrange my life. I've got to have Jesus' help. I got to have him walking along inside me. I got to be like that woman in Luke 7. I got to do a real robust step one. So that's the invitation of the day. As you walk through this day, just look at, what are you powerless over today? You are powerless over the weather. The weather here, by the way, is really, really nice. But wherever it is that you are you're powerless over traffic. You're powerless over the economy. And then in myself, I'm powerless over approval addiction. I am powerless over my habit of withdrawing from people and pouting. Now, there has been change there, but the change that's been there has come by the grace of God. I'm powerless over all kinds. Where am I powerless and need help from God? And today, we live in a culture that will tell you, you can do it. It's in you. I believe in you. You got to believe in yourself. You just need to have enough confidence. You need to, no, you don't. No, you don't. Paul's doing step one. I don't understand myself. Those things that I would do, I don't do. And those things that I would not do, those are the things that I do. I say to myself, don't eat that. Don't go there. Don't say this to this person that I'm, and then I say it. Who will deliver me? Wretched man that I am. I will not deliver me. I will. That's step one. That's the invitation for today. Make your step one today really robust, and then keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.